Welcome to Rob's Reliability Project. I'm Rob Kalvarowski. On this week's episode, I welcome on Don Doan from Symphony Azima AI to talk about using machine learning to optimize processes. So if someone is listening to the show and they want to start thinking about applying machine learning at the process level, like how should they start?
Well, how they need to really think about it is first off to make sure that they have, they have a good understanding of their process, that their IoT people and their IT people come to understand where the data is going to be coming from. Is it going to be coming, what network is it off? The instrumentation network, is it off the business network where you can use a historian data process? How fast do they want the process to operate at? So they should start with defining out a business case for doing it. Now, the business case, of course, is 1 to 2.5% throughput of a plant, which is a lot of money on most of these plants over a year. So the whole idea is to focus on one area, what you're trying to do, how you're going to improve that process, and what the return on investment is for you. At that time, then they need to engage with, the experts out there that are doing this and come up with I call it a pilot. You can call it anything you want, where you take one of the subsystems, you go through the advanced process control or machine learning control of your model predictive controllers, run them side by side, make sure you understand what they're doing and what they're telling the operators to do. Make sure you're operating, all the MPCs are operating within their safe zones of operation. Like I said before, your OEMs typically push it back towards the conservative side. And with APC, you can move up towards a higher throughput or higher process rate without actually getting into a point that is degrading the equipment below it or making the system unstable or unsafe. After they've taken and done one of those systems and looked at it and validated it, then they need to go back through and do a system review. Find your bottlenecks, see if APC and your bottlenecks will improve that bottleneck, apply it to the bottleneck, and then start working out from the bottleneck to increase your productivity. That's how I see you do it. It should be very methodical and engineer. I'm an engineer, so it'd be a very methodical approach, but I'd first engage with a knowledgeable entity where they take data scientists and domain experts, sit down with your own domain experts, and review what a system would be and how you'd go through analyzing that system and coming up with advanced process control. Anytime a OEM or someone else comes in and says, "Hey, we'll do this for you. We know how to do it. They'll put it together for you." I'd raise the red flag. My process engineers and operators need to be involved with the review of that advanced process control system that is going to go in place.
No, absolutely. And I think that not only the fact that you have the operators as their experts, obviously, in operating your plant, but there's also the cultural buy-in aspect that you're going to need to get at some point. So if you have them in at the beginning, you're just going to further that process as well.
Yeah, that's correct. I always like to say, since I've been doing, machine learning, supervised machine learning since 2004. What I have seen is that it is really not so. When you talk inside an industry, especially oil and gas, they call them management of change, is when they change out or upgrade a system. But there's change management, which is the human side of it. If we forget that humans are involved in this process, and it really is the operators and maintenance people and the reliability engineers that own this stuff, it will never be successful. So it's the human aspect. That's why they should be engaged in the beginning, get buy-in, and agree that this is something that would help increase the product throughput and make their jobs a little bit easier by giving them ideas of where the process is going and what actions they should really take to keep that process optimized. Yeah, say there's a run back or there's a curtailment in the system. What's the best way? What MPC should I gather in first? Even though the EPCs are going to do it, which ones do I want to control to make sure my system doesn't go unstable and I have to shut the plant down on a D rate or whatever has happened on the downstream side?
Now, what mistakes do you see people make that, like, when implementing, like, let's say they're going to be implementing some machine learning capabilities, like, what mistakes do you see people make, and how should we avoid making those mistakes?
I think the mistake is is probably it's mostly on the executive sponsor level, thinking that the implementation of this is going to help them, automatically fix everything, right? It's a silver bullet. There's no silver bullets out there. We all know that. And so the first mistake they make is it's a silver bullet. It's going to solve this problem in my company. Like we just said before, you know, it's the human side that you have to solve when you put inside these advanced process control systems. So the mistake they make is not having that human side thought out as they go through the process and not engaging the right level inside the company. So to do this, you just can't do it as a cost center. So I'm a plant out in the middle of Arizona somewhere, or New Mexico, or Panhandle of Texas, or in Egypt, or wherever you are in the world, India. You cannot take that cost center and have them go off and do what they do willy-nilly without an executive sponsor. Because what I've seen happen is usually a champion at a plant level or a unit level gets involved and owns that system. And when that champion leaves, that system no longer brings value to the company. So that's the first mistake I see, is having it a champion driven. It should be executive sponsored and be part of the overall culture or thought process of the company as you do this. The second thing is expecting that when you first put the system in, you're going to get all your money out and hit all the numbers. That is not true. Just like I'm sure you've had conversations in asset health side, sometimes it takes a while for you to get the optimization set right to get your throughput. So thinking you're going to have instantaneous return on tomorrow is not what you do. You got to wait 6 weeks to a few months, to a few months to see can I maintain this optimization space? Am I actually performing it? You will get there. Well, we've proven it time and time again. It's just, yeah, to have patience in the system. And the third thing I've always noticed that people make a mistake, and I wish I know how to correct this, all the way from component health, which we call condition-based maintenance, to machine health, asset health, to process system health, and up to process optimization. If it's not part of the plan a day of operations, either on the operations management or the operators that are in the control room in the field, if it's not part of their daily input, you know, and that's not part of their job, if it doesn't land on operations desk, it's destined to die a slow death because operations doesn't buy into it. If it's owned by operations or it's reported into operations, because they're the ones that are ultimately responsible for the safety of the people, the plant, and the equipment, right? And they're responsible for throughput. So they have all these pressures on them. It's really got to be operations focused after you get the system validated and working. And that's one of the biggest mistakes I've seen in this industry for 40 years, is that operations is considered a customer instead of actually the rest of us being operations is not thought of as a customer. They're just thought as a person that gets information from us and they can do whatever they want with it. But when operations becomes the customers of these systems, that's where it becomes part of their tribal knowledge. Believe it or not, even advanced process control has tribal knowledge into it. Why did you do it? Why is it put there? How does it happen? That has got to be in the operational space. And then if it isn't there, it will linger and work good. And then the next, as the money dries up or a next CFO comes in or if the economic climate changes, that system will languish and go away if a champion dies out or leaves or goes on a different job. So to maintain health of the system and advanced process controls, asset health, component health, it's got to be on the operations desk somehow. Some way.
So just to kind of clarify, if operations isn't leading it, who's typically leading it? Like IT departments?
Typically, who's leading it is process engineers, and the one that will be leading it, and the reliability side of the company. And they typically talk with operations, but it's not owned by operations. And what I mean owned is not operations is paying for it. I mean that operations feels like they have an ownership of that process, and they're getting return from that process that makes their job easier and improves the process throughput while maintaining the safety of the personnel and the environment. Many times it is, like I said, it gets stranded in some space. Now, if advanced process control will live in the operation space. There's no doubt about it. But there's a lot of pieces that tie into there. You know, your OS, your historian, your vendors for your MPCs, they are all typically not owned by operations. They're maintenance, craft, or engineering, right, that feed into their system. And operations needs to know that, hey, if I change this advanced process control limit for these different model predictive controllers, well, how does that affect the equipment? And should, you know, how do we tie this all together? So it should be it's all change management. It goes back to the earlier topic we talked about. It's all about change management and getting everyone's buy-in. But operations has got to really be the focus of where all this technology ends up in a very condensed fashion to them to be able to make sure they produce at the best cost, at the lowest, at the highest throughput rates that they can maintain without affecting the equipment.